Awesome. So I'm so excited today to be hanging out with Paul, who is the founder of Unit, which I'm sure is a brand that many of us that are moving into our late 30s, shall I say, very, very, what's the word? Like, we all know about it. We know who Unit is. It was a part of our growing up. So thank you for being here. I know that we've tried to make this happen a couple of times, so I'm pretty stoked that we've nailed it.
No problem.
So firstly, let's pretend that there's some people that have lived under a rock and don't really know what Unit was. Can we go back and just paint a little bit of a picture of how this even started?
Yeah, so Unit was, still is in some ways, a combination of action, sport, and art. Those are my two things as a kid that I loved. And I think for every kid, you kind of look at the adult world and you think, what am I going to be, you know? And I always recommend figuring out what you're good at. You know, maybe it is a cliche, but it's true. Figure out what you're good at and then build your world around that. So yeah. The natural combination of those two things was a brand. And motocross and art, you know, coming together was... Yeah, just, you know, like at the time I wore Fox, which everyone would be aware of.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, man, I reckon I could, you know, when you're a kid, you think you're actually so ambitious and you think anything's possible. So I was like, I could make a brand better than Fox, and I think I will. And that's the beginning.
Wow. Oh, wow. And easy as that, guys. So off you go. you started this brand in your garage. I'm guessing with not a massive amount of backing. Right.
Zero.
Right. And I think
and no idea.
Yeah. And this podcast is really about building your empire. And I think there's so many excuses that people come with. I can't because I don't have the money, don't have the time, I don't have the knowledge, whatever. You didn't have any of those. You built a multi-million dollar van. Right.
Yeah. Look, it's there's a great saying, like, build the airplane driving down the taxiway. You know, like, so construct it before it's ready. Because, you know, like someone else said to me the other day, like, done is better than perfect.
Yeah.
Right, so if I'd waited to the opportune moment to create a brand, it may never have happened.
Yeah.
It's really youthful exuberance and naivety are actually great things. Be crazy enough to think you can do it, and never if you hear someone else say something crazy, never tell them no.
Yeah.
Just be like, fucking go for that.
Do it.
I believe in you.
Yeah. Get it. Yeah, and so you, like I said, you know, you had zero knowledge, zero backing financially, zero idea. What were the first steps that you took? Obviously, you needed to find a product, you needed to design up all the designs, which there were some really epic ones. It's taking me back to my childhood. I still remember, the Fruit Loops in the bath and, all these wicked, wicked ideas that no one had done yet. Had you had a couple of drinks to design these things? was it, like you said, it was the art that came into it. How did you?
I suppose, like, I've been lucky that I have really enjoyed art and creating, like, I suppose, symbology and imagery that offends people, or at least it's eye-catching, you know. So, I figured, look, I'm buying these brands for these reasons. What would I buy if I could make my own brand, what would it look like? And so effectively Unit was my interpretation of what I wanted to buy. And I'm the target audience and the taste master. So why don't I just make something I want to enjoy? And that's basically it. And that could apply to anyone in any realm, you know, like, so whatever it is you do, if you're an expert at it, if you're a horse rider who wants to, you know, invent some new horse riding apparel, then build it for you.
Yeah.
And if you learn as you go, I still failed a lot. Like, I mean, I think we did 5 t-shirts and 2 of which were successful, 3 of which kind of are probably still sitting in my mom's closet to this day.
Oh, they'll be collector's items soon.
Well, yeah, they probably would be. So yeah, you know, failure is part of the journey. And I think, yeah, like, if you can win enough where you can still stay in the game, then that's enough for you to keep going. So, like, those 2 designs got sold really quickly and we made more. And then, like, I learned from that. So I was really, I guess, skilled at going, well, why did they buy that? And then why did they not buy that? And then trying to like psychoanalyze that, which I enjoyed doing that anyway. Yeah. Like I have theories about everything.
But it, don't they say that the overthinkers are usually the successful ones? The ones whose minds race all the time.
Possibly that is me. Like I'm usually like, I can't sleep. I'm either too excited or too stressed about something. So.
Amen.
But yeah, honestly, it's like, yeah, just get up out of bed and just want to do something fun, you know, and when you are 18, 20, you don't have the responsibilities that you have later. So there's this little window where you can really go for it. And I think,
send it,
you know. So that's the period. I mean, and in saying that, like, you can do it at any age. But in that sort of earlier period, there is less responsibility, but you have less money too.
Yeah.
So the way the world works is annoying because you have no money and all the ideas at the beginning. And then at the end, you have all the money and no energy, you know. So it's not... God sort of screwed that up, I reckon.
And no one wants to back you because they've seen how unresponsible you are with everything in your life.
It depends how well you camouflage those things.
I sucked at that bit. So, you know, okay, so obviously, you know, the brand built really quickly. You know, it became a part of, I would say, most young people's household, whether it was a sticker on your car, a stubby holder,
yes,
a bar runner.
Yes.
Bar runner. That was a big one.
What's more Australian than a bar runner, you know?
You saw me. I had many of them. So, you know, after that, like, you know, I read an article that you sent to me and it said, you know, it spiraled very quickly and it got very big very quick. And then, you know, obviously things started to move. You started to come into things that you'd never seen before. You know, obviously massive amounts of money, success, your vibe, your tribe would have changed as well. What impact did that have?
Yeah, I suppose your understanding of reality can really get messed up because, you know, like I used to like think, oh, which petrol station do I fill up at? Because like that's 2 cents less, you know, and then when you have success, all of that doesn't matter anymore. And so it can get to you, I think, and yeah, like you can lose touch of the value of $1, you know, and I will never let that happen to me again. Like I still like, if I drop 20 cents, I will pick that 20 cents up, you know what I mean? And so I feel like success does affect you with, you sort of like, yeah, maybe you just get a little bit big for your own boots.
You're probably, like, you go to take
notes. Yeah, it can happen, you know, and I think, yeah, it's for some reason Unit just went from strength to strength like that. We never really ever had like we never went back. It just was just like bang, 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 bang. Everything I ever wanted. I was really big on goal setting. Like I would write down every January, like, you know, what I wanted to achieve that year. And honestly, I'm not saying this for effect, but 90% of what I would write would happen every year.
Yeah.
And
do you think that's because, you know, I don't know how much you've sort of looked into that whole manifesting thing that, you know, is massive at the moment. Do you think, you know, it's because you had nothing in the way? You said, I'm going to do it. You then put the aligned action into place and off you went.
Yeah, I think there's something magical about the reality we're all in. Like, I feel like, you know, your brain is a reality generator.
Yeah.
And so what film you insert into this projector can actually happen, you know. And I'm not the only one that says that. Like, I find like the more people I see and learn about that have been successful, like I think it was Delta Goodrum had like, and not that I'm a fan of hers, like I'm not, you know, like, sounds weird, but like a lot of no, but like someone like her and then other people as well, like they would have a poster of themselves on a wall in front of a crowd that they photoshopped when they were 15. And then that actually became a reality, you know. So it was one of the famous actors wrote a check for $1 million for
himself. That was
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
It was him,
Carrey,
so that sounds really crazy, right? But I would encourage everyone to actually think, what is the craziest dream that I could, you know, envision for myself?
Yeah.
And then put that into reality. So my 11-year-old son, he and I together photoshopped a picture of him with an AFL ball in the MCG recently, and he's very talented at AFL, and he learned Photoshop through the experience, but there's on his wall was a picture of him with a footy photoshopped into the MCG, and it says, I will win a grand final at the MCG one day.
Wow.
And so, and I, we put it on Facebook, and I've said in 2029 we'll come back and see if he's achieved this.
That's so,
so I'm applying that to my own kids.
Yeah.
And I think too many parents are like, oh, that's just too far fetched. You know, you can't. Don't be so ridiculous. But yeah. It's like, what if you are right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What if you're right?
You got nothing to lose, do you?
That's
by
right.
By thinking like that.
Just be crazy enough to think you can do it. You
know? So, do you think that our kids do what we do or do what we say?
It depends on the kid, I suppose. It depends how well you've paid attention to your children and what lessons you've learned and that you've applied to them. I love kids because you relearn your own. You know, there's that saying, you learn through teaching, you know.
Yeah. They mirror back to you your unfinished business. Have you heard that one?
No, I haven't heard that one.
Kids mirror back to your unfinished business. So when your children are playing up or they're acting out a certain way, 9 times out of 10, we've actually it's something within ourselves. You're going to really watch now. You'll be like,
well, I'm already going, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I've had to come a long way because I've been a single dad for a while.
Yeah.
And so parenting has been something I've struggled with, to be honest, and I've actually gotten so much better at.
Yeah.
And I love, like, I really love it. And you know, like, you're always on show, right? So I took my kid, I got a speeding fine, right? So my kids are in the car. And so it's this moment in life where, like, your children watch their father get disciplined by a police officer and how your father reacts. And so I was very gentlemanly, I apologize. I said, kids, so dad's done the wrong thing. I'm going to look in the backseat. This is a police officer and I've done the wrong thing. And I thought to myself, like, they learned a lesson in just how to deal with failing or, like, from their own dad. You know, your dad, you at some point in life, you realize your parents aren't perfect and it's how you respond to those moments. And I think, you're on show and you're setting the tone all the time. For the wins and the losses and the entire, you know, daily grind of life, you know.
So,
they're just going, the word mirror is correct, because they are literally going, that's my example of how to behave as a person.
But I think subconsciously as well they do it. They take on all these little things that, you know, we've taught them how to do, whether we even knew it or not.
I completely
That's agree. A whole nother podcast.
That's an entire episode of 15.
We'll probably make a reality TV show out of this one. So, okay, so, you know, like you said, you grew really quickly and, you know, things started to come to you that you had envisioned. What happened when things started to not be so great?
Yeah, that's a great
question. Because I think that's in business anyway, right? Like, it doesn't matter what happens. There's times where it looks like shit.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a collaboration of, like, burnout and, you know, you fall out of love with your own creation as well. You know, like, I kind of, it became such a monster that, like, I could manage the company, like, when we had, like, 20 staff, I could run the whole thing and we'd all crush it. But then when you get to, like, 60 staff, 70 staff, one person can only have such an impact. And so I think, you know, instilling in those people what they need to do, maybe I've struggled with that and I failed with that. Potentially that's what happened with me, but I created a monster and it just became too big to really control. And the trouble with UNIT was it was so anti-establishment and Rage Against the Machine. Then when we became a machine, how do you run a machine that's not a machine?
With a bunch of rebels that you just hired.
Like, and, you know, like, all of my marketing material would be banned now. I mean, it was banned then. But when I think of what I got away with now, like, I would probably be in jail right now if people
didn't. Yeah, there'd be some riots happening, I think.
It would be quite controversial, to say the least. So, yeah, I think lots of things were done that we could get away with more back then. But then you end up becoming a bank as well. So, like, you know, like, I hate banks. And, like, we were a bank because we'd have to, like, give accounts to, like, 200 shops around Australia.
Yeah.
And so all of these administrative tasks and quite labour-intensive things were now part of my daily grind. And, like, I'm trying to create art and T-shirts here that people get offended by or, like, love.
Yeah, yeah.
And then over here I've got to, like, deal with administration and, like, bank selling bank accounts and whatever else. And so it just got too big.
You know, and it started to not align with your values by the sound of it, really.
And it just became too much. So I had no downtime. I was married, we were having young kids at the time. And I probably, my relationship suffered heavily through that business. And I'm sure lots of entrepreneurs can understand that. And it's such an undertaking, you know, with a business of that scale. So, Yeah, to answer that more succinctly, it's just too big, and keeping your business smaller and more fun is probably what I would do.
Yeah. Next time. So you answered my next question, and that was, you know, and I think a lot of people would look at something like this and go, "Oh my God, I'd never be able to get back from that. I'd never be able to pick myself up off the ground after I lost what you lost." Yep. Right?
Everything.
Do you believe that the
universe? But they can't take what's in here.
Do you believe the universe strips you naked? Literally, it's like being, you know when you hear of the Bucks parties where somebody gets gaffer taped to a light pole, start naked, right? You say this like it's a memory, but you know, you're literally stripped naked of everything that you think you know, you think you have, you think you are, so that you can recreate yourself into the version you were set out to actually be.
Well, that's
with the knowledge you now have.
I mean, I'm a different person to the person I was in 2014, for instance, and I think that's absolutely true. I've grounded myself in so many ways. I've learned tons. I've kind of seen my own failings, and I think vulnerability and being open to your own weaknesses is actually a strength, and figuring 100%. Out, where you can improve. So that is probably the best way to describe what happened to me, to be honest.
Universe strapped you to a light pole.
And I'm still going to fail. I'm still going to be suffer and make bad decisions going forward. But I feel like I'm more adept at recognizing it.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know, like I've just got more love of life now in general. Like I think I was quite... As a young man, you kind of like against the system. Maybe it's part of the evolution of the male brain. It's like you've got to fight the system as a young man. Now I'm like, you know what? I look around and I think, the world's got problems, but man, it's living and being in the light. Yeah. And like, I just want all boats to rise. I just want all of us to fucking kill it. I feel a sense of, just euphoria for everything, like, I don't know if that makes sense.
It sure does.
I love it. I love life and I love the potential.
I think it's once you find your place, you don't have to prove it anymore. And I think growing up, you're like, look at me, I've been a rebel, doing all these things and fuck the police and, then you're like, hang on a second. It's all good. Everything's so good.
I think it's still important to question the status quo. And, it's definitely good to, because that's how, we evolve down from the trees is through change. But, I think also embracing the fact that what you have is great, so that idea of count your blessings, like my dad said to me the other day, he goes, when I was a kid in church, they made us sing count your blessings, every single one of them. And I remember thinking, I've lost so much. And I'm like, man, if I'd only recognize what I had, and appreciated it more, And the other thing I've heard recently is like appreciation over expectation.
Yeah.
I love that. I might tattoo that on myself.
Yeah, that's a good one. We'll do that after this.
We'll go there next.
We're going there next. So, okay, you know, like you said, you'd appreciate more if you did it again. Now you are launching again or have launched pretty much.
Am I doing the right thing? Yeah.
You've gone into your next build. So tell us a little bit about that because it's exciting. And I know that there's going to be thousands of people that tune into this because they're like, oh, my God, that was such a big part of my life. So, I'm guessing everyone's going to be excited to hear what's next.
Yeah, so I couldn't resist the urge to do another brand.
I love it.
Look, so it's actually going really well. I've been going for 6 months. This new brand is called Thrilla, T-H-R-I-L-A, one L. Everyone spells it with two L's for some reason. And Thrilla is a contemporary version of what Unit was in some ways, but then different again.
Yep.
And I'm having a huge amount of fun with it. And it's growing without me really even trying. And that's the other thing I've noticed. If you're trying to smash doors down and sell and do this and build, sometimes it's better to just let it organically come to you. Mm. And I think that's one of the differences. Patience. How do you spell that? I've never heard of that. I've learned patience. Having had my first rodeo and knowing where it went wrong, this next one is going extremely smoothly, and I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it, and it's just a baby at the moment. Yeah. But
and is it a motocross brand? Are you kind of covering BMX and stuff as well?
Well, again, it's two wheels and a pair of handlebars. So that could be, you know, well, we're not doing scooters. You know, maybe we will one day, I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, effectively BMX, motocross, and mountain bike. Those would be my favorite three sports.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I've stuck to what I know. I'm going back to my roots, if you like. Mm. And they're kind of the same sport, really.
If you think about them 20 years ago to what they are now, like, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, like, I think everyone rides all the disciplines now. In the past, you maybe rode one or the other, as now people ride everything. And with COVID, all of these sports have just come and exploded again, because that Bali trip that was going to happen, or the snowboard trip to Queenstown, is now like, oh, let's go and buy an electric.
That was two of mine. Yeah.
So yeah, the industry is coming up, and electrification is coming in.
Isn't it? Have you got an electric skateboard?
No, but I do plan on getting. I am going to get.
I've got one in the boot. We'll give it a bash after this.
I want to see you go down the street. No, you go.
So you're right. Like, everything's electrified, and it's, you know, faster. But like a skateboard with a button, it is the most craziest thing ever. It doesn't work in my head. So this is going to be really funny after this. So what is your thing at the moment? What's your electrified favorite toy?
So when I was in Austria a year and a half ago, I got to ride an electric mountain bike. And so what's interesting about those that I didn't realize was, it's not a throttle. Like, so you think of a motorcycle, you have a throttle. Mm-hmm. These actually have a powered drivetrain. So as the pedals turn, it sort of propels, it pushes your pedals with you.
Yep.
And so that is quite it's a very weird experience, to be honest. Yeah. But like, I just smiled the whole day. I couldn't believe how much fun it was. And so electrified mountain bikes, and even dirt bike, electric dirt bikes are coming in now as well. And so that's going to change everything, right? Because
the smell of two-stroke gone.
Well, that's a shame. No, that's one downside. But so, like, you know, the old lady next door at the paddock next door was upset because her horses are running around because your noisy dirt bike kids are annoying. She's not even going to know. You know, like, you could ride dirt bikes here, like, you know, and so I think the sound.
Oh, game changer.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more sexy than a dirt bike hitting a triple and you get that thing like, wow. You know, like, that is still, like, amazing.
Yeah.
But aside from losing that kind of, like, vision and that sound, there's other benefits that are going to come from electrification that make that industry even more enticing. So I'm looking forward to, you know, 2026, when that is the norm and more people can do it. You know,
it's not even that far away.
It's not, it'll be here tomorrow. You know, so that is an exciting new area.
So for anyone listening, I like to keep these, you know, pretty short and sweet, because we're busy, right? So we're going to assume that everyone listening is busy as well. So bite-sized pieces, if you could give one piece of advice for someone starting up or in that phase where it just got hard, what would it be? Obviously, keep going would be one of the standard, but what's something that you could really give them to take away, or something that they could do?
Yeah, I think you can get carried away with success. So, like, if you can sell 15 products really well, it's hard to say, let's not do another 15 products. So you can get carried away doing too much. And the difference between a $5 million a year company and a $20 million a year company is, you have no life trying to run a $20 million a year company. And a $5 million a year company, you're still set. You still got everything you've ever dreamed of as a kid, but you're not working till midnight every night.
Yeah.
And so figure out where your work-life balance is, you know, and having a gold-plated swimming pool is a waste of time, mate. Like,
did you have one?
No, I didn't actually do it. But look, it's an example, I suppose. I had a mirrored room.
Yeah.
Which was also.
What's the craziest thing that you had?
It was definitely the mirrored room. Yeah, I think that definitely.
That was your office.
It was my office. Yeah. So for people that don't know that story, I used to sit on an aeroplane and find that was where I was most creative, and I'd kind of come off the plane with a mind full of ideas and a sketch pad completely full.
Mm.
And then I thought, if I could have that experience at the office, you know, I guess I'd describe it as like an extra dimensional experience. So I thought, I'll just mirror out the whole room. So it was like the floors, the walls, the ceiling. And then I put a dentist chair in the middle with a big screen that sits over my head. And it was like moving into another dimension. Like, you walk.
And it was just go time.
Yeah. So I would go in there, and I found being in there on a Sunday was actually the most like I would get the most done because no one could knock on the door and harass me. So I would go out there on a Sunday and I'd have a bottle of whiskey with you or something. I would definitely, you know, do the wrong thing in that way.
Yeah.
But I was highly constructive as well. You know, I'd leave the
and
office.
And wrong thing says who? Like, you know,
that's
I
right.
think
whatever
based
it takes.
On what? Like, whatever. If you get the job done, you get the job done in my eyes.
Well, that's it. So that was my kind of like, I think it was like a $30,000 cost to actually do, which when I look back was a bit weird. But it actually, I probably made several million dollars worth of products in that room. So in retrospect, it was
probably
actually an investment. And I probably will build one again.
That's cool.
So,
wow, I can't wait to see the pictures. Thank you so much for joining us. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are like, oh my God, we're going to go check out this new brand. So obviously you'll be on all the platforms, like go and check it out.
Yes.
What's the next big thing coming up for Strela event-wise?
So there's a big national title for BMX. So BMX is in a real boom phase at this stage, and I'm about to launch what I think might be the best BMX pants in the world.
Oh,
very flexible. This is an exclusive for you.
Nice.
So, it's like very flexible and strong pant, and it's very light. So innovation is key to success. And I think, that's going to be our next big kind of ticket product that we'll put into the marketplace. So we're testing them next week with Aston, who's our top BMX athlete.
Yeah, cool.
And that'll be at the Narang track. And you can buy them in all different shapes and sizes and colors. And
pink?
I do have a pink one. And it's, pink is our bestseller. And it's guys that are buying, not necessarily girls.
Yeah, times have changed. So, you need like a salmon. Watermelon.
Salmon. Watermelon.
Watermelon.
I don't know about salmon, maybe.
There's
some innovation there. Maybe even have some helmets and some other things like that coming down the line. I have a whole heap of things I want to do, but with my experience now, it's like one at a time.
Are you not going to buy off all the things?
No, I'll do one per week. One per month or something. People will be pleased. If you follow us on Instagram, you'll just see a progression of our brand, and I'm looking forward to launching some cool stuff very soon.
Yeah, nice. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
I really appreciate it being
here. Check it out, guys.